I'm going to just hop into a quick word talking about the theme, devoted. I'm going to pray one more time, and we're going to keep rolling in this. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity to not only be here, but to hear from you. Dear God, to hear words that have inspired, encouraged, and even helped shape our relationship with you, God. So I pray tonight, dear God, that everything that Anthony was that has spoken, dear God, that it would not go forth on ears that don't hear, dear God, but also ears that hear and do, oh God. So I pray to God that we walk in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen and amen. I always say early in the year, I just really pray about these conferences and ask God, what is the theme that you have for me? So Anthony asked me, what is the scripture here? So we early in spring, we did devoted, and there was a different scripture God gave me. And this year is still the same year. So I was like, I'm going to roll with devoted. And the theme scripture was Philippians 3:14, which says, I press toward the goal. Somebody say the goal.
The goal.
For the prize. Somebody say the prize.
Prize.
Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody tell your neighbor real quick, it's time to press. It's time to press. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They trying to make me go cozy. I ain't gonna let them say hi. Listen, God is calling you to press towards something in your life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna just talk simply on devoted. I believe that everybody is devoted to something.
Uh-huh.
Let's be honest. You are either devoted to your job, your career, you're devoted to your family, you're devoted to getting money, or you can be devoted to loving your family, to taking care of them, right? There's a lot of good things you can be devoted to, but like I heard somebody say this week, if God is not the number one in your devotion, it's going to be a problem.
Uh-huh.
And God is looking for us to show our devotion to him. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Daniel 6, but while I was preparing for this, that came into my spirit in Daniel 6. That is the chapter where Daniel was thrown into the what? Lion's den, right? And he was thrown into the lion's den because of his devotion. Right? So if you look at this whole thing, there was a thing. They were trying to trip up Daniel. Somebody say trip him up.
Trip him up.
But they couldn't. It actually said in one scripture that he was a person of integrity, right? And there was nothing that they could find that could mess him up except his devotion to God. So they went and attacked that devotion to God. And they said, hey, king, let's set up something where if anybody prays to somebody else besides you, they're going to get thrown into the lion's den. And you know, the kings were just, man, I always look at those kings and the whole story of Babylon and all the kings that came after them. They were like, anything these people said, they would just go with sometimes. You know, I'm like, why? But that's what they did because they wanted to please, like Tony said, they wanted to please the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was like, cool. And then Daniel did not say, okay, let me go pray in secret so nobody sees me. He says, let me do what I normally do. So he opens the doors, right, gets into his prayer closet and prays, and it does not hinder his devotion because he's already used to this.
Mm-hmm.
See, your devotion now will show you what you will do when adversity comes.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen?
If you have no devotion now, when adversity comes, you're going to run.
Mm.
That's why I think it's very important that we show that we are devoted to God. Amen?
That's good.
So Daniel did this not to say that I'm better than all these other people, but he understood where his help comes from.
Yeah.
Right? He says, if I don't get my devotion, see, they see me as a man of integrity, but they don't understand I get that because of my time with God.
Mm.
See, you don't get the essence of God or some of the characteristics of God without spending time with God. Right? That's why it's important when we've heard people say this before, your character can mess you up when you get to places that your gifting will get you to if you don't have it in check.
Yeah.
Right? Your gifting can take you far places, but if your character doesn't reflect what needs to happen in that time, it can mess you up.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we see, I love sports, so I like sports. I love God. I like sports. Right? But when you see people in sports that man, they got everything, and then they just do something we think is like stupid. Why would you do that, bro? Because they didn't develop their character. So your devotion develops your character, amen?
Amen.
Now, Daniel just continued to do it, and there was a consequence. Your devotion is going to require some kind of consequences sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about 5 points real quick, briefly tonight, that show your devotion. And we all know the story of that, how it ends with Daniel. He was thrown into the lion's den. If you don't know it, I'm going to say it real quick. He was thrown into the lion's den because he prayed to God. Okay? Simply put, because he did not allow the law that said not to pray to God to stop him, he was thrown into the lion's den. But God, in his grace and his mercy, closed the mouths of the lions.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, sometimes, like he said, I watch like the animal shows, and I see sometimes these guys that are around lions, and they just hugging them, and I'm like, not me, man. I ain't doing that. You know, they're like the Garden of Eden again. I'm like, nah. Lions, they might get hungry. I remember there was a man that had a lion in Hollywood, and that lion accidentally nibbled on his leg. But it wasn't a nibble for the lion. Or at least it was a nibble for the lion, but not that person. His leg was messed up. Because they were taking pictures, and the lion, he had a toothache, and he decided to bite his arm. So I was like, not my thing. Right? But he was in there. God closed their mouths, and the king even fasted for him because of his devotion. See, this is the thing. I'm going to say this real quick, and I haven't even really got into my points, but your devotion is not always just for you.
Come on.
People are watching you to see if you're really devoted, to see if God is real.
That's good.
But they also want to see if you're serious about this thing.
Yeah.
Amen? Right. I remember me and my brother Chamion, we used to sell CDs outside the clubs. Use this as a witnessing tool. There would be certain people to come up, and we would pray for divine appointments. And as they would come, they might ask us something, and we're like, this is the person, so let's pray for them. Let's speak into their lives, right? And as we were there, we would go like every Friday and Saturday night. We wouldn't go into clubs. We wouldn't be out there trying to party and do everything everybody else was doing. And there was people that would watch us. You know, they wouldn't say nothing, but they watched us for, I want to say, at least a year. And they came up to us one time and was like, man, you guys are serious about what you're talking about. You know, we wanted to see if you were serious, because a lot of people come down here, but they're not serious. And that really shows our devotion. That's my son, the DJ over there, trying to get things going. He's playing one of my new songs. Thank you, son. I appreciate the royalties. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is that your devotion is not just for you.
Yeah.
God will use your devotion to inspire somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So let's get to the 5 points real quick. The first one is your time. Somebody say time.
Time.
Now, Viso said something about 6 o'clock in the morning. And the reason why I will wake up at 6, and I'm going to tell you guys this, if you don't know me, I am not a morning person. Right? I can kick it all night. He get my text sometimes at 1 o'clock, just finished my push-ups, man. Praise the Lord. Ooh, that was a tough day, right? But at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's tough.
Yeah.
But what I realized is, especially when I started seeing God do different things in my life, I said, I need to get this quality time.
Yeah.
See, it's not just time. Because, see, I would still pray, but when your prayer time is interrupted, it's different than when it's uninterrupted.
Uh-huh.
Right? Sometimes, we use a church saying, oh, just pray without ceasing, and God will move. And that's good. But you still should have some time, quality time with God.
Yes.
So I'm going to read a couple scriptures on every point. One of them says, oh God, it's in Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God.
Mm-hmm.
Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it again. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. You should be in a place where God is a necessity, not only in your life, but in your time.
Uh-huh.
And not only a necessity. Necessity is something you need,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be a prioritized thing.
That's it.
Amen. And I'm learning that as I go. And, you know, I've been in church almost my whole life. You know, I could say I was probably born on a church pew, right? But when you really understand that your relationship with God is something that has to be developed, it happens when you spend time with God.
Yeah.
When I think about the most powerful times that I've had in God, it came from the most time that I spent with Him.
Uh-huh.
Because the Bible says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Yeah.
Those who spend diligent time with God, He will reward. Amen?
Amen.
And here's another scripture in there. Is we're talking about time. Your devotion will show who you are with your relationship with God by the time you spend. And here's a scripture in Psalms 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord. We all know this one. At all times. All right? And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When I think about that scripture, not only do I show my devotion in spending time with God, it's the way I live after I spend time with God.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I believe, just like Anthony was saying, I cannot show God, hey, God, I did all these things, now I am saved. But after I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says there is righteous works that He requires from us.
Uh-huh.
It's a requirement. Somebody say requirement.
Requirement.
What that means is He is expecting you to do something.
Yeah.
He's expecting, because of the grace that you've seen and have received, for you to show that grace. That's why it's interesting, just like you said, Kanye, I talked about this a few times. It's so interesting that we have a grace from God that the Bible says that we do not get saved by our own works, it is by grace. But when somebody else gets saved and it's kind of like, oh man, that's too much for, no, God's grace is still covers them,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Your job as a Christian is to spend time praying for that person.
Yeah.
So that they can continue in that grace that God has given.
Uh-huh.
But see, many times we get caught up in saying, ah, that's too much for God.
Right.
But really, let's be serious, you were too much for God.
Right.
If you want to point your fingers and say somebody else was too much, it really shows that we haven't understood the thing about grace and mercy. But when I bless the Lord at all times, everywhere I go, at that time, I need to make sure that God is being glorified. Right? When I'm driving, I think me and Isaiah was talking about this. Anytime I'm driving, I got to bless God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And sometimes, you know, you deal with some of these people, they're crazy. I don't understand why some of these people are able to drive. But what I do is I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we didn't get in an accident. Thank you, God, for your mercy. I've seen God do some crazy things in my life, and I can't explain how it happened. But God. But God wants your time, and your time will show your devotion. Somebody say time.
Time.
All right, next is energy and emotion, okay? Your energy or emotion, the things you really put the most into, shows your devotion to God.
Yeah.
Right? Now, anybody ever watched a game show before? These people get on there, you win $5. They're like, $5. I'm like, $5? Man, what's wrong with you? But because they're on TV, right? They understand that it's a small amount, but there's a bigger amount. So because they're on there, they're using all their energy to do whatever they can. And some of these people, I'd be like, man, these people are crazy. You won $20 and you act like you won $2 million, but it's their energy. It's money. They're winning something. Right? How do you get about God? The things of God. Somebody gives their life to God. Are you like, oh, praise God. That was cool. we got the church people. Yeah, that's awesome. Man, this shit excites you. Right? When somebody scores a touchdown, I used to be like, man, we need to get hyped for God. Like the Seahawks players, when they score a touchdown, and we doing this. Look, I need somebody to come up and, you know, chest bump me a few times. Let's go, man. We worshiping God. And some people look at me like, you're crazy, Peach. But that energy, right? That energy shows what you are about.
Yeah.
I remember when I was ministering in Phoenix, there was a pastor. He was a linebacker. And, you know, when he gets up there, he's like, yeah! I mean, he's so pumped, and I'm like, man, you had to be a linebacker, right? Because, you know, linebackers is, you know, they bring that energy. Because they're usually the ones that are the quarterbacks of the defense. But just like a game show contestant shows that energy or that emotion and many times, we must show that with God, mm-hmm. right? When we have energy and emotion surrounding the things of God, it really shows what we're devoted to, right? I'm one of the people that I always try to rejoice with other people when they get something.
Yeah.
I never been that person that was like, oh man, they got a new car. How come I don't? God, did they deserve that? You know, I know they didn't. No, that's not your business. I'm excited, man, when people I know get something, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Why? Because God, you are a good God. And I even say this, you're able to do it for them. I know you can do it for me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to rejoice for them.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm excited that God is moving. When somebody gets saved, even if it's not in our church, or you go to another church and you're saying, God is really impacting me, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because God moving excites me. Somebody say your energy and emotion. I'm going to go to real quick to Deuteronomy 4, 27 through 31. It says, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations, where the Lord will drive you. And there, somebody say there, you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But then it says, but from there, somebody say from there, you will seek the Lord, your God. And you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. It says, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord God, your God, is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. Now, what I see here is, even in the midst of turmoil, God uses that sometimes to bring out some kind of emotion. Have you ever been in a trap or something like where you needed help? You don't just be like, help. Can you help me? Are you like, help? I need help. Can somebody help me? Why? Because you are in a situation. And see, life will allow you to get in situations to see where your emotion lies. Right? Pastor Nate, a pastor that I grew up under, he always says, squeeze a person hard enough and some things will come out. Good or bad, something's going to come out. Right? You get squeezed, you get in a jam. I mean, even as Christians, we've said some things we shouldn't say when we get in a jam. And our reaction should be like, God, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't, you know, God, I need you to, okay, God, I see you still working on me. I'm a work in progress. But your emotion and your energy shows your devotion. Amen? Amen. Next one is sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
I believe devotion is really based on your willingness to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
You cannot be devoted to God and devoted to the things of the world at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? The Bible says you cannot serve God and money, or mammon is the word that they use. You cannot serve two masters at the same time, because between the two, you will be torn. So we should not allow ourselves to be torn by a whole bunch of things, but we got to sacrifice something. You ever have, how many of you guys got a schedule? You got a work schedule, right?
Yeah.
You got a, what else? You got a dinner schedule, a lunch schedule. Hopefully you eat breakfast, or you might not, I don't know. But you got all these things in your schedule. And I was showing my daughter, Markayla, how we organize our schedule, because sometimes we need help in understanding how to organize things, right? But in organizing our schedule, if somebody calls me and says, hey, Marquise, I got something that I need you to do. It's at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Now, in my schedule, we have service. Right? So I'm like, hey man, can we do it on another day? If not, I can't do that. So something had to be sacrificed, right? Or it might be, man, Precious, I need you to come here and just help me. Can you pour me some tea in the middle of the day? She'd be like, well, I'm at my job. Right? That's So you have to sacrifice that. It's not always a bad thing. Maybe if she called and said, hey, can you do it after my job? Maybe we can meet or something like that. But to pour tea, I don't know. That's a tough sack, you know. I'm sacrificing a lot just to come pour you some tea. But what I'm saying is, and it's kind of funny, but you have to understand that you can't do everything when you're devoted to God.
Right?
Even good things can hinder you from doing the God thing. I remember preaching a message when I was young that God, a good thing will keep you from doing the God thing. See, I can do all the good that and be like, God, I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. And God is just saying, just do this. Your obedience is important, right? The Bible says your obedience is even better than sacrifice. But for you to understand that, you have to understand sacrifice, right? So one of the scriptures that I have for this right here is the Romans 12:1 scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren or sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, somebody say my body, as a living sacrifice. Holy, somebody say holy, and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, Right? So what that scripture is saying is you're going to have to sacrifice something even in this natural realm. In your body, there's going to be some things you're going to have to sacrifice. When some people say, hey, Isaiah, let's go do this. I can't do that, man. Why? Because I'm worshiping God. Right? My worship, my devotion to God would say that is something that I can't allow me to do. Now, I can't put that on everybody else, right? See, that's one thing that we got to make sure as church people. Like, I don't listen to secular music, but I'm not going to force you to not listen to secular music because I do that, right? I can't base your salvation on you doing what I do, right? That's the wrong thing to do. But because my devotion to God says this, I can't do that personally, right? So I look at that and say, okay, God is requiring a sacrifice. Your worship comes from your sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that shows your devotion. Luke 9:23 says, let's go ahead and pull that one up for me. And this is a scripture that talks about, this is what Jesus said to his disciples, right? So when Jesus says it, let's make sure we pay attention. It says, then he said to them all, and when he says it to the disciples, he's talking to us as well. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny. Somebody say deny. Now, why do we say deny? Now, we don't like that word. Like my son right here, he's 2 years old. If I deny him of something, he's going to throw a fit. Right? He's going to be like, Dad, don't love me. No. You can't have. Let's just say he wants a knife. I can't give him a knife. You've been denied this knife, son. Right? And, you know, as a parent, it is my job to shelter him and to protect him from things that he's not ready for. That's what a good parent will do, right? So we must deny certain things, but it says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. First, the deny is a sacrifice, but also taking up the cross is a sacrifice, right? Now, I think in church today, we kind of got to the point where the cross is, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross. But that was one of the worst ways to die. In two ways. They say the hanging is a curse. Right? But also, when you were on the cross, you basically suffocated to death. Right? There's a couple things that would happen. First of all, you're trying to hold yourself up, and your lungs and everything are collapsing. Water begins to come in because you ain't got nowhere to really get rid of all that water. That's your tongue and all that. Basically, you're suffocating. You're drowning yourself on a and you got nails in you. Right? So every time you move, if you move too much, it might cut your hand even more. So when we talk about take up your cross, there's going to be something. There's going to be some bruises. There's going to be some cuts. There's going to be things that happen in your life that God is allowing to happen. Somebody say allowing. But it's going to mature you. See, nobody likes I say this, nobody liked the Warriors winning all those championships. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they were like, they don't have no challenge. Right? The people that didn't like them were like, man, they don't have no challenge. They stacked their team. They got all these all-stars. And it's not fair. Right? But when the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons beat the Lakers, I don't know if anybody knows any tickling. Anybody know about that? All right. Okay. So the Detroit Pistons were huge underdogs. The Lakers had Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and a whole bunch of other people. And there was no way they were supposed to win. They didn't even think it was going to, they was like, they're going to get swept. Right? But the Detroit Pistons went up against them and won. Those are the kind of things that you remember because you're like, man, the underdog won. We all love underdog stories because there's a challenge to it. Well, guess what? When you're a Christian, you're an underdog. There's going to be a lot of challenges that you're going to have to face that the world won't have to face. I remember one of my neighbors, he was like, man, I'm trying to give my life to God. And when I gave my life to God, everything got hard. I was like, that's a good thing. Because God is trying to show you something. One, that you need you need his strength, right? But also the enemy is showing you that he doesn't want that to happen in your life. I heard it said that the devil won't fight somebody that's comfortable in sin, right? If you're comfortable in your sin, the devil won't be like, man, give him some more stuff. We ain't worried about him. But if you're trying to come against, let's say you're a person that's trying to minister to that person, there might be a lot of trials and a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to have to face. Because the enemy's like, we got to stop him from trying to minister to him. Because if he gets that grace and that mercy, if he understands about Jesus, it can change his life. And that might be the same person that Lisa was talking about as getting out of those chains and is around those people. And when you're around those people, they see that stuff. Uh-huh. Man, he was just like me, but God did something in his life. Maybe I need to call him. Right? Somebody say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Almost done. Only got two more points. Somebody say commitment.
Commitment.
This shows your devotion. What you're committed to. Now, you know, I always be messing with Tamron about these push-ups because I want him to help me out. Just encourage me to do a few, you know. I feel like Tamron could do it if he wanted to. But these push-ups are really a symbolization of commitment. Uh-huh. Right? Now, when I first started doing them, I would tell Anthony, I was like, bro, my abs is hurting so bad. I think my abs were sore for 4 straight months. Like, no lie. I was like, my arms is not even a problem. My abs, like, I can't move up it because you're in a plank position for so long. It's just killing my abs. Right? And what it showed me is the more you stay committed to something, despite what happens, you get results. Right? Think about the things that you're most committed in life to. Can somebody show me some things that you're committed to, or just tell me some things you're committed to in life?
Family.
Family, job.
Marriage.
Job.
Come on. Somebody in that section real quick.
Children and grandchildren.
All right. Michael said cars.
Church administration.
Church in general, right? Yeah. When we think of commitment, one of the biggest commitments that we have is marriage. Right? And today, in this day and age, because of lack of devotion, marriages don't last because people are not committed. Right? And this is not just in the world. This is also in the church. The funny thing is the church and the world almost have the exact same divorce rate. So that shows me something that believers, we have to make sure our commitment is stronger than just what we say, right? Mm-hmm. See, that I told you guys earlier on the first day, if you tell me you're going to do something and you don't do it, I'm like, okay. The first time, I'm like, all right, okay, something might happen. Cool. But if it keeps happening, all right, cool. I'm not going to ask them again.
Yep.
Why? Because that person is not committed. If you need something and you're like, hey, man, I really need you to come through. Hey, it don't matter how much you beg this person. If they don't come through, you're like, I can't rely on that person. But can we rely on your devotion to God?
That's good.
That's a question that we should ask ourselves. God, can you rely on my devotion? I want to be so committed. There's a song that says totally committed. I want to be totally committed to God.
Yeah.
Right? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and all of his righteousness and everything else will be added to you as well. So the most important part of that scripture is to seek first or to put first. That means commit to God. Psalms 119 verse 2 says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Amen. Marcia yesterday, she went on a cold rant that was like, are you semi-committed or are you totally committed? Amen. She said, you can be a semi-Christian, but that's why you have a semi-blessing. That's why you have a semi, what'd you say, Missy? Semi-peace, semi-joy. Because you're not for real. You're not, you got that semi in front of you. Hey, listen, I don't like semis. You know, car, I don't like driving by semis. Right? Anytime I'm going to buy a semi, I try to drive by them or let them go so I can get away from them.
Yeah.
But how many of us allow semis in our lives? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, be committed.
Be committed.
Say like T.D. Jakes, get committed, get committed, get committed. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Your commitment proves your devotion. The last verse I have for this, it says, for I know that it's in Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Right? Then you will call upon me. This is the part I want us to catch. And go and pray to me, and I will listen, and you will seek me and find me when, somebody say when.
Man.
This means this is the most important part of that, everything that came in front of me. All right? It says, when you search for me with all your heart. Then it says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place of which I caused you to be carried away captive. Right? Now, I know that me and my own personal relationship with God, there's times that I pray. And I don't know if this happens to you. Sometimes your mind just goes everywhere else. It's like, oh, man, I'm praying. Oh, shoot. Right? I'm not seeking God entirely. Right? I have to seek him with my whole heart. So sometimes you have to do something different and put yourself in a place where distractions can cease. Right? Sometimes you got to pray and leave your phone in a whole other, or just turn it off. Right? Why? Because I don't want that to distract me from hearing what God has to say to me. Right? Or understanding that a certain time, maybe this is not the best time to pray. It's hard to pray when your kids is yelling your name. Right, and daddy, I need my diaper changed. Right, they don't say that, but you smell it. And you're like, oh, God, change his diaper. Right, you got to get to a place where you can seek God with your whole heart.
Yeah.
Last thing is, when you are devoted, I believe it affects your surroundings. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you guys earlier, I believe that your devotion is not just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know about you. I've seen many people in their relationships with God that made me say, man, I really want to be like that.
Right.
They've encouraged me, right? My dad is one of those people. I remember him praying early in the morning. And you know, my dad, he would pray in tongues at times. And I would hear him because he didn't pray in tongues silent. You know, he tried to do it silently, but he had to open his mouth so he could pray in tongues. Right? It's hard to pray in tongues with your mouth closed. At least I think so. But I would hear him praying and that inspired me. Mm-hmm. I married my wife because she was a prayer warrior. Remember seeing her pray and I was like, I need that. Woo! Why? Because it encouraged me because she had something that I needed in my life. So I learned from that. Amen? But I believe this, and we're going to close. Your surroundings, your devotion will either impact your surroundings or it'll allow other things to your surroundings to impact you. Two scriptures, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, or bad company will corrupt good people. Really, that's what it's saying. Or you can have a surrounding where iron sharpens iron. And I believe your devotion will say that, because you can say, hey, I got to go to this place, right? I got to be here. Why? Because I know that I'm going to be edified. I'm going to be lifted up. Or I can say, I'm going to go here because I'm going to have fun. But it might not be edification. So God is saying, allow your devotion to be shown by these things in your life. Your time, your energy and emotion, your sacrifice, your commitment, and then allow your devotion to affect your surroundings. Amen? I'm going to pray, and we're going to get out of here. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that your word will be direction for each and every one of us, God. That, dear God, that today that we are encouraged to be devoted to you on another level. God, we don't want to do it in our own strength, but God, we want to love you on another level. We want to know you more. So God, let every area of our life reflect our knowledge of you. And God, I pray to God today that God, that you move. Maybe we have not been devoted in certain areas of our life, or we haven't been devoted to you like we want to. God, I pray to God that you would strengthen us, dear God. I thank you, dear God, that because of your grace and your mercy, you give us a chance to grow closer to you. So God, I pray that you move by your spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.